Hey, I'm Kevin Pettit.
And I'm Martin Frazier.
And we are Loud Americans Discussing Soccer, better known as Lads. Today is Wednesday, December 13th, 2021. And nothing crazy has happened in the world recently. Nothing. Nothing weird has happened in the world. 2021 already off to a great start. The memes of the Capitol, unbelievable. The memes from Boston and from Mooresville, North Carolina, where Kevin, me, and Martin are, is phenomenal. So, again, I don't know how to start shows, but hey, Martin, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great in this calm, relaxing start to the new year. Like you said, nothing at all has happened.
Nothing.
You know, last week was just fucking all dreams for everybody around the United States parts. And Kev, other than the calming week that I've had, I've been pretty good. I've been pretty damn good. And I know we're going to get into it later, but I got to let the people know. I got to do a Shiva Kamini. I can't remember the rest of her name from the league, but I got to do a shout. Manchester United on top, baby! 8 years I've waited. 8 years I have waited to say that. And... oh, Kevin, I'm on cloud nine today, right now.
I feel untouchable. Put it in the rafters, baby. Manchester United, December, January 12th. Hang it in the rafters, baby. Top of the league.
Are we becoming Tottenham? Is United becoming Tottenham, celebrating a
don't say that.
Fuck!
Oh, my God. This is so funny. But yes, Manchester United did play today. They did beat Sean Dyche's worm-eating Burnley side, which I was in the Discord, which, by the way, joined the Discord. Everyone's, like, calling to get rid of Sean Dyche's out of the Premier League. They hate Burnley ball. They hate his 10-man behind and, like, how ugly of it is. You need at least one, and I think Burnley is our guy to keep. Sean Dyche has run through the mud, and to be able to stay in the Premier League for this long, which is one of the toughest league in the world, he deserves to stay. He's a staple, and if he leaves the Premier League or even leaves Burnley, I will be sad.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think any disrespect towards Sean Dyche is wholly unwarranted. The man, under his tutelage in the previous 8 games, has led in a total of 3 games. Now, there's a big fucking asterisk, a caveat, if you will, to that. He was not present on the field during the 5-0 thumping that Man City gave him. So I get to right away those 5 goals. So in the previous 8 games that he has managed on the touchlines, he has conceded 3 goals. And after a rough start to the year that Burnley had, man, Sean Dyche has turned that shit around, and they're looking like the regular old worm-eating Burnleys. And I'm here for it. I will not stand for any disrespect of the worm-eating commander-in-chief.
Yes, also, I guess it's been long enough to just make sure people know what we're talking about. Like, Sean Dyche was interviewed one time and he says he just puts worms in his mouth to, like, freak out the team. I don't even remember the story. It's like he pretty much said he was going to eat worms, like when it rains, and they start, like, coming up on the field. But Martin, we have a show for everybody, which will include FA Cup recap, and we're going to recap kind of the, I guess these are the makeup games you were telling me about. So, I'm excited, but before we start and get into our show, we're going to start off with some news updates, some FA Cup rematch, and then the games. But just want to let you guys know the lads are doing something special, or at least we think it's kind of special. We're raising money for charity. It is Mission 22. We're going to be selling these shirts called the Rowdy Lads. It has, like, a picture or a take on the Christmas truce iconic photo, you know, when both sides came together on no man's land during Christmas 1914 to play a little footy, play a little soccer. So all the proceeds from that shirt will go straight to Mission 22. They are a nonprofit that help veterans in social programs who are suffering from PTSD, depression, substance abuse. They also help feed veterans. They do a lot of great shit, so if you want to check them out, make sure they're legit. If you don't want to buy one of our shirts, I would at least, you know, go check them out, or even the Till Valhalla Project, check them out too. Both Martin and I graduated from the Virginia Military Institute. Shocking, we went to military academies, I know. We both didn't serve. Well, Martin, you went to basic, but crazy thing. But we have tons of friends, family, loved ones who have served, and we figure this is a cause we can both get behind because the world is crazy. 22 veterans die a day. That's why they call it Mission 22, because of suicide. and that's way too many. So especially during these quarantine times, like I can't even imagine with the isolation and stuff like that. So we wanted to give back to people we care about. We lost one of our classmates last year due to this. So it's something that we hold special. So please check it out at least. And yeah, that's the serious part of the episode's over. Fuck, shit. Let's start cursing, Martin. Drink. Do something.
Drink. All right, hold on. We're drinking.
Drinking. Okay. Let's start off with porn. Martin, you wanted to go first.
Yes, I did want to talk about porn and West Ham. So if you guys have been following the news over the past couple months, there has been rumors that a porn star was going to be part of the board of directors at West Ham. Now, look, everybody fucking loves that news, right? Like, it's 2020, 2021, and we need some good old-fashioned Hollywood news. And this is it. So Eva Vori, who has starred in the likes of Lesbian Housewives and Housewives Gone Wild, those are actual scenes that she has starred in, and I've saved them for later, has been appointed to the board of directors. And look, before everybody freaks out thinking, why is a porn star a board of director at West Ham? What are her qualifications? Look, her qualifications are she is married to David Sullivan. Now, David Sullivan is a ginormous piece of shit. He loves running West Ham into the ground, using them financially, almost kind of like the Glazers and Kroenke do at Manchester United and Arsenal, respectively. And
respectfully.
So, my man, David Sullivan, in order to make some more money off of West Ham, has appointed his longtime partner and ex-porn star, Eva Vori, to the board of directors in order to write her pay stub off as tax credit. So my man has surpassed all of my wildest expectations of what greed can do. Because in all honesty, I get fucking hiring a porn star. That shit, yeah, it makes sense in my fucked up brain.
But our still president, he gets it. Yeah.
Is
he? I don't know. I can't keep up.
He's being impeached again. I don't fucking know.
I don't know. Anyway, soccer, porn.
Soccer, porn. So to be fucking honest, this is probably my favorite story of 2021 so far, just because of the ridiculousness of it all. And to be fair, all the puns that are going to come out of this are just going to be brilliant. The memes, fucking Eva Longoria. What the fuck? Eva Vori.
Please do fucking, porn.
Yeah, please. Eva Vori. Fucking sucking the life out of West Ham and all the memes that are to follow.
Oh, dude, Martin,
it's got me tingling.
I got a few here from the Discord because shout out to Beak, Brian Carpenter, Lanzini's love child in the Discord. Make sure to join our chat room; it's a lot of fun. He posted it. He's a massive West Ham fan. A couple of the jokes made in here. I said, "What's it called? Get in has a new meaning." Drunk Uncle said the Mia Khalifa effect. They said Pep's effect in England would change things, but no, it's the Mia effect. the best one was, King Nito 1019, also an Arsenal fan. He said, come on you irons with a C-U-M. Yes. Incredible. Yes. And one more, it's hammer, more like ham her. So that was, from good friend, Fuck All Sports, Matt. So the jokes will continue. They will not lit up. And yeah, I did not know about the pay stub thing. I did hear about the porn thing though, or I mean former porn, but
yeah, former if you, porn. Come on.
And again, if you want to do porn, OnlyFans, whatever, that's awesome. Good
fuck
for you.
Me, that's an attack.
I just want to, it wasn't, oh my God, I forgot. Anyway, that's a story for a different podcast. A couple other news stories. I want to shout out an American real quick, Martin. What's his name? Matthew Hopp, the first American to score a hat trick in the Bundesliga, did that for Schalke, who almost broke the winless streak in the Bundesliga. But thanks to this heroic American effort, this man scored a hat trick against Hoffenheim. So shout out to America. We're good at some things, some not so good. But soccer, we're coming up.
We're coming up. 2022 and 2024, as Sam's Army, Barstool Sam, says, back-to-back world champs. I look, everybody who listens to this podcast knows I'm an England fan first and foremost. But the joy that these young American stars are fucking giving me day in and day out in the various leagues around the world, the top five various leagues throughout the world, it's just incredible to see how exponential this U.S. soccer growth is. And it gives me fucking hope for the future that one of these days the U.S. men's national team is going to become a true force to reckon with.
Yeah, I have good hopes for, what is it, 2022? But I have really good hopes for 2026.
I said 2024. I meant 2026. That's my math. Adding 4 to 2022. Oof, too hard.
That's way too hard. Now, the next point of business I have is Mesut Ozil. So a couple of things. Mesut Ozil is on his way out. He's going to go play for Fenerbahce, allegedly. That's nothing's official, but it seems like that's where it's leaning. He's also weighed in on a few things, Martin. He's gone to Twitter because he's now a Twitter Fortniter. And he, I know your favorite. I know. I feel like you and Roy Keane would get along so well. You just like hate all the modern soccer. Just it's all bullshit. I feel like you and Roy Keane the whole time would be like, "Stop it! Stop doing that shit."
straight fucking up. The hairstyles, the fucking fashionistas, Hector Bellerin. I'm still looking at you. The fucking Twitter verses, the Instagram, fucking the players from opposite teams hugging after a match. Get that all out of my face. Oh, that shit disgusts me. I want to go back to those good old 1990 days. Of just hating the other team. I miss it, man. Bring it back. But anyway, back to Ozil's situation.
Yes. So Mesut Ozil weighed in on the GOAT talk, you know, Messi versus Ronaldo. And Ozil had to say when he did an Ask Twitter thing where he answered questions on Twitter, he said, "Messi has proven himself to be one of the best ever in Spain, but Ronaldo was always the best in every country he's played in." Winky face. Thanks, Mesut, for the winky face. I imagine you're weird fucking
I hate him so much.
I imagine your weird fucking wink. I don't know. And also hearing his voice for the first time was super weird. Like, "Yeah, Connors, yeah." I was like, "Please shut the fuck up." I couldn't do it. So I guess the bias. I mean, Mesut Ozil did play with Ronaldo in Real Madrid and got to see him firsthand, and I don't know. I think there's a little bit of a bias there, but I mean, fair point. I mean, Messi has only been good at Barcelona, but at Barcelona, he has been the best ever. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I think that Mesut Ozil leaving Arsenal, for every piece of drama that has happened over the past year and a half, it kind of slow burned and fizzled out in the end. Like the announcement of his transfer to Fenerbahce, it kind of seemed muted, and now I'm not an Arsenal fan, so I don't follow all the Arsenal fan pages, so it might have been a totally different thing in the Arsenal space. But it felt like it kind of just fizzled out, and he just went away at the end. And to be fair, we chatted about this before the podcast, and I was telling Kev that it just didn't seem right the way he left, the way he came in, the way he played for Arsenal, and then the past year of drama. To his eventual termination and departure. It just rubbed me the fucking wrong way. And I brought up that it reminded me of Arsene Wenger's final couple years at the club, where at some point the fans and the staff decided that he was not part of the plans and they just phased him completely out. So I'll obviously let you take the floor, but it was a weird one for me, Kev.
Yeah, it just went out without a bang. You know, went out Arsene Wenger kind of went out a little better, but it's kind of going out with a whisper. And I said this to you when you brought this up about like Arsene Wenger and the parallels between him and Mesut Ozil's exit are very similar. And to do an American example, I'm a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. I get it. We're scum. But it reminds me of a lot of how we let go of Nick Foles and also how we just let go of Doug Peterson. If we're going to do a comparison, that, you know, two guys who did a lot for your team won silverware and kind of just threw them to the curb. It like makes me feel shitty being a part of two of these fan bases, you know? So I don't know. It's really weird. I think Ozil's a legend. I think he's an Arsenal legend. I think he's a legend of a player. World Cup, FA Cups, La Liga trophies, Bundesliga trophies. The guy has won everywhere he's gone. And it's a shame that how he went out was so shitty, especially the stuff where he's speaking against like genocide in China, and they think that was some of the reasons he got benched too and got backlash from the club because they didn't want China getting the, you know, taking away the TV rights. I thought that was horribly. Mm-hmm. I thought that was horrible when he was just speaking up for people's, you know, not only civil rights, but the right to live. Like, so I don't know. I feel like hard done. And I would always, and I my criticism has always been of him as a player. Where in big matches he becomes a ghost, he doesn't show up, and I would get very frustrated by that. But then again, like looking back, other players didn't step up too. I mean, the second half where Giroud did not score a single goal during the Leicester winning season, where we were title contenders that year when everyone else was shit in the league, we finished second on the last day when Leicester won the title, and it feels as though like we probably should have, you know, if people finished more for Metzit, who was at like what 19 assists halfway there during the season. I don't know. I feel like history will be kind to Mesut Ozil. I think Arsenal fans will look back, and I think history will be kind to him. I just think right now it doesn't look as good.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what you said definitely rings true. Mesut is a legend. And I think only time will show how much of a legend he is. If you think about his first couple years at Arsenal, how he ran that fucking midfield. He was untouchable until about 2 or 3 years ago. And yeah, there was a decline in performances, of course, but just to shun him from the club, especially for things that he's speaking out against in fear of retribution or revenge, it's just a shitty thing altogether. And I know Kevin and I have talked about this before. It really hurts you sometimes when your club disrespects and mistreats a certain player. Manchester United is currently doing it with Sergio Romero. And Ozil, I think that he was kind of lambasted by the fans and club alike for the previous 2 years especially. And I think in about 5 years' time, he will certainly be considered the legend that he is.
Yeah, I think as well as like Alexis Sanchez, Santi Cazorla. Mm-hmm. I think Santi Cazorla, because of injury, he went out because of injury. So I think he's looked better than Alexis and Ozil right now. But I don't know. That's all I got to say about that. But also, shout out to Jose Mourinho responding to Mesut Ozil, who said he'd retire. Who Mesut Ozil on his Ask Twitter thing said that he'd rather retire than play for Spurs. Jose Mourinho responded to this when a reporter asked him about Mesut Ozil's comment of retiring rather than playing for Spurs. He said, "Who told him that Tottenham would be interested in signing him?" Which, Jose Mourinho, king stay king.
Dude, I seriously think Tottenham has just rejuvenated this man. Manchester United sent this man to like the deepest pits of
the gulags. Sent to the gulags.
But goodness gracious, he has completely returned to his self in his Tottenham tenure. And the shit that he says no longer sounds like crazy Mourinho shit. It just sounds like Mourinho shit. We've taken away that crazy shit. Mourinho is back, man. And even if Tottenham doesn't win under Jose Mourinho, whether it's the Prem, Champions League, or the FA Cup, I still think he's done a phenomenal job so far at Tottenham. And I think Tottenham has done a phenomenal job for him as well. So fucking shout out Jose Mourinho. Never thought, Kev, never fucking thought when you and I first started watching soccer together, like 2013 or 2014, we would end up liking Jose Mourinho. We fucking despise this man.
I hated this dude.
Hated this man.
I still kind of do, but not as much. No, I was kidding. I just don't know how I have. Okay, this is a great example that people can change. Like,
yeah,
I hated Chelsea. I hated Chelsea with a passion when Jose Mourinho was there, and I hated Jose Mourinho. Now I kind of like Chelsea because they got the young guns. They got an American. They got Frank Lampard. It's a cool story. Like the young players, can they figure it out? Now Jose Mourinho at Tottenham, my rival. But Jose Mourinho, for some reason, has this appeal of being such a shithouser. I love him.
Fucking Jose Mourinho, dude. Just the quotes and the Instagram posts that he makes. Like, I would just fill a book full of them and sell it for like $100 because the shit he says, man, it will change your fucking life. Between him and Zlatan. And Kev, here it is. Who's a better shithousery fucking person? Zlatan Ibrahimovic quotes or Jose Mourinho quotes?
Oh, they're close. They're really close.
Yeah.
If I had to pick, I'd probably pick Zlatan because I think they sting harder. I think Jose Mourinho is more passive-aggressive. Where Zlatan will just go straight to the core of the issue. No bullshit. Like I think Jose Mourinho could say something half pass and someone would be like, I don't know. Zlatan will let you know what he's talking about, what he's going to like rip you to shreds about. So,
and then he'll throw in some weird karate kick. If you ever had like 5 minutes
and sleep with your sister.
Yeah, that too. If you have ever have 5 minutes or less to spare, go watch the craziest shit Zlatan Ibrahimovic has done in his career, because I'll tell you what, it is spellbinding. The shit he says to journalists, the random attacks he deals out on the training ground. There's one video of him just karate chopping Thiago Silva in the fucking head on the training ground with literally there was no reaction or interaction between the two previous to that. He literally just walked out of the locker room, kicked Thiago Silva in the head, and then kept walking as Thiago Silva was clutching his head on the ground. This is when they were both on AC Milan.
Yeah, honestly, Martin, I know this is kind of, we've gotten off topic, but if we're going to do like the best players of the past decade, I mean, it's like obviously Messi, Ronaldo, 1A, 1B. But then after that, mm-hmm. I think it's like Zlatan. I mean, in terms of goal scoring, titles won. I mean, who else are you going to put there? I mean, obviously, I guess like the Iniestas, the Xavis, all the players on Real Madrid with the 3-peat and stuff like that. But for me, I probably put like Zlatan third.
I do as well. A couple weeks ago, there was this new fucking trophy system called, I think it was called Globe Soccer Awards, and they said that Mohamed Salah was the third best player of this century. And I'm just blown away by that fucking answer. Like, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, since 2000, has become the champion everywhere he has gone. He's just an incredible fucking forward and a completely unique forward at that. So I'd definitely put Zlatan as my number three biggest influential player on the pitch over the past.
That's a good. That's better. Maybe. Yeah, I think influential is a good way of putting it. Okay. One last news thing I have. Let's get to the FA Cup. We've been, teasing it a little too much. I thought it was cool that the Santiago Bernabeu was covered in snow. That was kind of cool.
It honestly looked a bit like Hogwarts. I'm not going to lie. Like a Spanish Hogwarts. If you will.
Yes. It looked like it was in Serbia. And I was like, this, and I've been to Madrid. I've been to the stadium. It is crazy. I was there during this time, like 4 years ago, and it was like 70 degrees. So that's, it was like shocking to see. Like a lot of people were commenting on the post. I posted it on the lads Instagram and they were like, this isn't fucking real. I'm like, yeah, it snowed in Madrid. It was like, it like broke a record for the first time in like a million years or something. I don't know. All right, let's do FA Cup, baby. The best cup in the world.
The magic of the FA Cup. Let's talk about it, Kev. First things first, I just want to get this out of the way. Millwall won, so they are going to be advancing into the next round. So I just want to see Millwall versus West Ham. That is always my goal.
It has to happen once in our lifetime. I don't think I've seen them play live.
I've never seen them play live.
Besides so Green Street Hooligans, like.
I did see Green Street Hooligans live.
It only happened in movies.
That's right. It's all farce. It only happened in movies. There is no football hooliganism.
Yeah. Shout out Hooligan Cards. If you can find them on Instagram, they're a really cool new Instagram that posts like, because I guess you used to have like hooligan business cards for some reason. I don't know. And it has like really cool like graphics and signs from all the different clubs, from their like different firms, their gangs, as if you will. But anyway, the game I want to start with, which was the game of the weekend, honestly, the game of the year. I mean, I guess the year just started. So the game of the year so far, Marine AFC, I believe, versus Tottenham. Martin, there's just so much to talk about this game, from the location, the people looking out their windows, seeing the match, watching Gareth Bale play on the fucking field in front of them when they're making crumpets or whatever they do over there. They're eggies. It was incredible to watch.
Yeah, dude. I mean, just the visuals of that game itself was it just reminds you of all the good of soccer. Like, to watch one of the best teams in the Premier League go to somebody's backyard and play a game of fucking soccer. It's just so fucking so fun to see games like that. And this one was no different. I think that obviously everybody in that town knew that Tottenham was going to spank them, but that is a almost once in a lifetime experience that I would love to be a part of. And you know what? Gareth Bale played some soccer. Didn't play golf. Didn't love Wales. Played some soccer. Surprising.
Yeah, I what's it called? I just love this so much because, like, it really goes to show, like, how cool the FA Cup is, even though it's kind of lost its magic in terms of, like, how much that trophy is worth anymore. It's cool seeing, you know, a community come together and get behind something and kind of, like, embrace this, where you have one of the storylines of this was the Marines starting 11, where most of the players, here are some of the jobs, Martin, that the Marine players had: car salesman, telecoms manager, refuse collector, which, if you don't know what that means, the garbage man, warehouse manager, a refuse collector.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
I've never heard of that.
Yes. A school teacher, a plumber. Like, I'm not joking. Like, we always say, like, oh, Pele played against plumbers. Literally, Gareth Bale and co played against plumbers. And then they have two professional footballers, the cam and the left wing. That's it. So,
hey,
and professional with quotations.
Yeah, just playing that game just must have been top 10, top 1% experiences of their life. Because that's like you and I playing soccer just randomly on the weekends. And then we have to play Philadelphia Union just one weekend to play in a tournament with them. It's crazy to think that this is how the FA Cup is set up. And like you said, yeah, it's lost some of its luster, but this is the magic.
It's so cool.
This is the fucking magic.
These matches make it cool. Also, shout out to Carlos Vinicius doing the Mbappe celebration against Marine. Amazing.
Dude, I got to defend him just because I saw a quote after the game that came out. So it's kind of similar to all these kind of younger players who have unfortunately lost a parent. Reminds me of Gabriel Jesus on Manchester City. The reason he does a phone hand every time he scores and shakes it to the sky is for his mom. Vinicius is no different. When his mom was alive, her favorite thing about the games, according to him, was him celebrating goals. And so he said, every time I celebrate now, I celebrate for my mom up in heaven or wherever the fuck she is. I don't know her.
So that's true.
What?
Okay,
because the mom thing?
Yeah, because I posted that, like, kind of ragging on him on Instagram, being like, I can't believe this motherfucker did this against plumbers. And some dude, like, commented saying, like, it's not him being arrogant, the celebration is attributed to his dead mom. And I kind of was like, yeah. I was like, his mom was a Mbappe fan.
So technical difficulties. I spit beer on my fucking laptop.
So I'm a dickhead. I am officially. I was like, oh my god, Martin, get it together, son. I was like, bro, like, there's no way, like, this, like, why are you clowning on me? But no, I guess that's true. So anyway, Tottenham beat the shit out of them. Jose Mourinho showing the little small town vibes. It was cool, man. I really love this match.
Yeah, and I think Jose Mourinho posted a video of just people on the street after the match, which is one of the more wholesome fucking Instagram posts that I've ever seen in my life. And like you said, kind of truly appreciated the small town vibe and the small town grassroots football of it all. And this was one of those perfect games that makes you fall in love with the FA Cup all over again. Like, obviously in the last stages, for the most part, it's going to be Premier League teams. But every once in a while, you'll have a team that just hangs on and has no business being there. And that's
Wigan. That's Wigan, baby.
Wigan up the fucking
ticks, baby. Up the ticks, baby. Oh my god. Anyone wants to look up the greatest run of any game of any games ever? Look up Wigan Athletic, baby. Okay. The next team I want to talk about is Corley FC, who I posted their video of singing Adele. They sung what's that fucking song?
I don't know. I actually very much wanted to ask you the context, like if there was some weird social media trend of singing Adele.
No, hold on, hold somebody. On. I'm gonna play it into the mic here. This one. Yo. Yeah,
dude. I see. Fuck. I don't know.
Oh, it's Someone Like You. I got it now. Okay. Someone Like You. Yeah, that's me singing it. I don't know why they sing it, but they beat Wayne Rooney's Derby. They're like a League Four versus a League Championship team. And good for them. And they liked the video I posted of them. Their official Instagram liked the lads video. So shout out to Corley FC. We're Corley FC fans.
Oh, hell yeah. Big Corley FC fans. And we were just talking about magic. This is some fucking magic. And this is the time that this shit happens. Like, you aren't going to see Manchester City in the locker room singing Adele after they beat Liverpool or vice versa. This is the shit you only see in World Cup and the FA Cup and the Champions League. If a small team can get through past a big fucking heavyweight, dude, there's nothing better than that. Root for the underdog all the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, them beating Derby was their Champions League final. Like, these guys will remember this forever. Them singing Adele in the locker room, iconic. I honestly, like, seeing things like that when the world is in such chaos, like, warms my icy ginger heart. It makes me very happy. So let's move on to another FA Cup match. And this was kind of what kicked off the weekend. The Villa revenge game. Or the Liverpool revenge game against Villa. After
that
the
was almost child abuse.
Yes. So Villa teamed pretty much the entire youth squad, all 16 to like probably 18 year olds against Liverpool, where Jurgen Klopp, for some reason, this guy who complains about fixture congestion and all this and like injuries, like started Salah and Mane and like started a really great squad against teenagers, which I think you tweeted that this is something that this could be considered abuse, and Mane scoring goals or hitting other players, you know. What was it, something about Adam Johnson? I forgot.
I said something along the lines of Sadio Mane scoring against teenagers feels wrong. Didn't Adam Johnson get in trouble for that? And
right.
If there is nothing else you should know about lads, is the lads fucking love Adam Johnson jokes. Not Adam Johnson, Adam fucking Johnson jokes. That shit cracks me up until the fucking
yes. We disavow Adam Johnson.
Yes, jokes. Totally.
Full range. Go ahead.
Spit them out. But like you said, Kev, I don't think anybody was prepared for the lineup that Jurgen Klopp set out. Like you said, for somebody who bitches about fixture congestion, and for a good reason. Like, obviously, December and
January. No, he has points. He has points.
But he's, like, making it worse for himself. He is actively digging this hole where he can complain about his players being tired. And he's just playing them for a full 90 minutes against teenagers. So I just don't get that at all, because he could have beat this team with a much weaker squad than he put out. But, you know, revenge is sweet, and revenge is a dish best served cold. And God, wasn't cold. 7-0 right back at you.
Yeah, what's it called? Shout out to Louis Barry, though. This kid scoring against the great against Liverpool, making it 1-1, was signed by Barcelona, came back to Villa, makes his debut against the champions Liverpool, and scores an unreal goal. And then after the match, hilariously swapped jerseys with Fabinho, and his coach came up to him and was like, "Dude, you're a fucking idiot. Why would you swap your debut shirt? Go get it."
Oh.
So, So Louis Barry chased down Fabinho and got it back, thankfully. But that was kind of funny.
Did Fabinho let him keep his shirt? Because I really hope he did. Because I wasn't even thinking about his debut shirt. I was thinking how cool for that kid, like to go out, score a goal, swap shirts with one of Liverpool's iconic players these past two seasons, and just fucking have that kid for the rest of your life. But you know, keep your debut shirt, man. You can say you scored a goal on Liverpool. Holy shit, man! Like, that's all I want in my life. If I was to die tomorrow, all I'd want to do before tomorrow is score a goal against Liverpool and go ahead and put Karius in the fucking keeper, and I'll fucking beam him in the head, give him another concussion.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, there's some things, like you're hearing these cool stories like Tottenham versus Marine, where you're playing in a small town where it's like a little cottage town and people are walking out of their houses and Jose Mourinho's there. You're getting stories where a lot of these kids at Villa wouldn't get a chance and they're finally getting a great opportunity to prove themselves, and cool stuff like this happens. Like, this wouldn't happen normally in the Premier League, where there are good storylines, but something, there's just a little bit more of zhuzh, a little more spice of magic when it comes to the FA Cup, which I love. But yeah, that's all I had about that game. Leeds still sucks. They gave up 3 goals to Crawley Town. Leeds defense is not good. Let's just keep that going.
Dude, Bielsa, like we've hinted at this before, but it has to be a certainty at this point, or at least a medium fact, that Bielsa tells his players before the match either to concede for or to score for, because I have still yet to see a boring game with Leeds, even though they lost. Like, this game kicked ass. Bielsa is an entertainer, and I'm so fucking here for it.
I see, you're the problem, Martin. Don't encourage this guy.
I love it, man. What,
dude?
Would you rather watch him or fucking Brighton or
crazy
him or Burnley?
Martin, is it crazy for me to care about winning?
Well, when it's not your team, I don't give a fuck. Like, if it's not United, I don't care if they win or lose. I'm rooting for a loss, to be honest with y'all. Like, if you're a fan of another sports team, just know that every single week I'm rooting for you to lose, or for it to be a nuclear game where both teams just don't come out of the game. So there is no love in my heart for other teams. So yeah, I'm rooting for Bielsa to make it entertaining. I could give two shits if he stays up. I could give two shits if he wins or loses. Just fucking make some fun football, man.
Good problem. Okay.
That is true.
I really don't have too much more FA Cup stuff, I suppose. Besides Liverpool and Man U got picked together again, and Man City got like Charlton. So Man City getting an easy draw. So Man U and Liverpool play January 17th, and then you guys play either the 23rd or 24th in the FA Cup again. So lots of Liverpool Man U this month, baby.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be a crazy week. Next week, this weekend is the first Liverpool United game, and Kev, I think I'm going to extend an olive branch to Liverpoolians out there.
Manchester, this should be good. This should be good.
No. This is good. We're coming together against a common enemy. Manchester United fans and Liverpool fans, yes, we hate each other, and for good fucking reason. These scousers are pieces of shit. But we can both agree that Manchester City's route to every single EFL Cup and FA Cup and Champions League is the easiest fucking route that I've ever seen in my life. It blows my mind. Every single fucking year, they just play nobodies until the final, and they win the final. True, yeah. But it just blows my mind away that they can get so fucking lucky again and again. So Liverpool, Manchester United, let's team up and send Man City back down to Championship where they fucking belong.
All right. Well, that's, you know, I think that's a take.
It is indeed.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited to see a lot of Manchester United versus Liverpool. I mean, it's currently, you know, besides, I mean, I still think the title race is pretty wide open. From Liverpool,
favorites, right?
Probably. I don't know why. I don't think they should be that favorited. Maybe a little favorited, but not that much. Like, they're like the heavy favorites, which I think is kind of silly. But I don't know. Let's let's move on to today's games, I guess. I think, do you have anything else for the FA Cup, Martin?
I really don't. I think we talked a lot about the magic of the FA Cup, and that's what I wanted to focus on. Quickly, Arsenal survived a Newcastle scare, got that W, scored 2 goals in extra time.
Saka, baby.
Dude, Bukayo Saka. We talked about this briefly, but Bukayo Saka is quickly awesome. Becoming my favorite Arsenal player. Also, for news around the FA Cup, United beat Watford 1-0, fucking skated by. Man City beat my Birmingham 3-0.
The Brummies.
A bunch of random-ass teams played. And West Ham, under their new porn star board of directors, beat, I think it was Stockport or Stockport today. So good on West Ham for really getting in line and coming fast.
So West Ham, Millwall, still a possibility. Great.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we can talk about today's games. And really, I just want to talk about Man U versus Burnley. There were some VAR issues and some bullshit. So, Martin, I'll let you go ahead. There was something about Cavani not getting, should have been a red card on the tackle made on him. Luke Shaw almost getting a red card, but he played the ball. What were your thoughts on the match? And then, obviously, Pogba with the winning goal, a little Pog boom towards the end there with a little Zidane volley going on. Maybe a deflection, but I just heard that from the commentary. I didn't really see a deflection on that hit. What were your thoughts on the match? Martial had a good chance. Harry Maguire, for some reason, had a goal caught off him, which was kind of bullshit as well. He just jumped on, which, like, they need to, dude, I keep the season how it is now, but they got to really reevaluate VAR and certain rules, because I feel like I've unlearned so much this year from the Premier League.
Yeah, man. Just to jump on that VAR shit real quick, and I'll get back to the match. I think, and I'm not positive on this, but I think that VAR was kind of not redesigned, but rethought out this season. And I think there is a small improvement over last season. And especially since Christmas, I think that they've been a little bit better with the handballs. They're not calling a handball if it fucking brushes a pinky finger anymore. So I think that it's getting a little better, but it's such a fucking mess, dude. And one of the referees came out yesterday and said that if there was no VAR, the first thing fans would say is it would be a penalty if VAR was still here, which total true point. But
Michael Oliver, and I totally agree with what he had to say.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's a fantastic point. But the alternative is so much better than the current reality of the situation. We spent, and Kevin and I talked about this before the pod. We spent 5 minutes watching replays today to see if, number one, Robbie Brady deserved a red card, and then subsequently if Luke Shaw deserved a red card. And we spent 5 fucking minutes just watching the same replay over and over and over again. And it drives me fucking crazy. That ruins the game right there. 5 minute breaks of players just standing around. Get the fuck out of here. I think that we've said it before. I think the World Cup refs did it the best. If they need VAR, the head ref will ask for VAR. Stop forcing VAR on the head ref. Let the head ref make the actual decision to bring out VAR. I think that would cut down on a lot of the issues that we are seeing right now. Rather than the head ref being told to wait while VAR checks, if the ref is uncertain, that's when you check VAR. Not if the fucking players are bitching at you. Not if some fucking random person watching a computer in 30 times slow speed says there possibly was a foul here. It's just ludicrous, man. And yeah, they made the right call. It was a yellow card tackle on Luke Shaw. Sure. Abso-fucking-lutely, sure. But I'll tell you what. Is it worth wasting 5 minutes to give Luke Shaw a yellow card? No, it is fucking not. It's just preposterous. It's I can't say certain words on this podcast, but it is so silly, man. It just drives me crazy, just the idiocracy of it all. And I think, Kev, I've made you a complete VAR hater. I think that I have, between me and VAR, you have completely turned the tables and you hate VAR now. too. And I think that anybody with a any decent common sense at this point just realizes what an absolute joke this is.
It's, you know, I'm going to do a weird analogy about this. It's like how people hate communism. Okay, so stay with me. So
Interesting start. I'm still here.
So the thought of socialism and communism is actually very good. It's, you know, the workers control the means of production. Everyone is, you know, everything is equal, right? That sounds nice, right? Mm. But when you have Russia or China, who essentially make it a state where there's not supposed to be a state in communism, they turn it into an actual dictatorship with some socialist principles, but it's not pure communism. It's horrible. And that's what people think of when they think of communism. It's these horrible institutions, place, and it's not really what, you know, the pure state of it is. VAR on paper, kind of like socialism and communism, is awesome. It gets things right. It should make the game fair. But the implication.
I love it. I fucking love that.
is horrible. So I hate the implication of VAR because it's being done so fucking poorly because English refs have always been the fucking worst in the top five leagues. So it's, do you see, I hope someone at home is like this fucking socialist pushy, but do you see what I'm saying, Martin?
No, that's a certainly fair shout. And I think that's a pretty damn perfect metaphor because, look, and I admitted this when VAR was still a pipe dream, that if it was to make the decisions more accurate, then yeah, I'd be for it. Absolutely, I'd be for it. And we brought up these stats before. But the reality of the situation is without VAR, the percentage of calls that referees got correct was 97.8. I am fine. I am so fucking fine with the 2.3%. Yeah, I guess that. Yeah, 2.2% error. I am totally okay with that. Right now, statistics will back me up. The percentage of calls that referees and VAR are getting correct in the past 2 years, now that VAR is a thing, has been significantly less than 97.8. It is around a 94.6 average right now. And that just shows me everything I need to see. If you want to implement VAR, a true technological referee, get rid of the fucking referees and just have some computer program like you have in FIFA track all these players and they'll get like 99.9% of the calls right. Otherwise, stop this half-ass bullshit. It's kind of like the coronavirus down south. Either shut it down or let everybody infect each other and develop herd immunity. This half-ass closed down bullshit with nobody even paying attention to it, it's not going to fly. So either do it and do it properly, do it all the way, or don't do it at all. And it's just annoying. Every single fucking week, there is at least one game that is delayed by 5-7 minutes. And it's stupid as shit. I can't stand it. And I know I've gotten on my soapbox multiple times about VAR, but man, when I'm listening and watching the exact same replay for 5 fucking minutes, and I can tell it's a foul in the first 20 seconds, and these professional referees have to watch a slow-mo replay for the next 5 minutes, it's a farce, man. It's ridiculous, and it just pisses me off.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. It's really just a waste of my time. It's a waste of the player's time. It's a waste of the manager. It's a waste of everyone's fucking time. And
yeah, essentially, yeah.
Perfect. I always stated that, like, if you can't figure it out in less than a minute, then the call on the field stands. Mm-hmm. If you have a minute to look it over, where me in my couch chair drinking 40 Bud Lights, yeah, can figure it out in 2 minutes. Or not 2 minutes, but in 10 seconds, you don't get more than a minute. I think referees, if you're going to look at VAR, should get a minute. If they can't figure it out, the call in the field stands. So,
dude, I think that's straight up the way to fucking do it. At the very least, if you're not going to fix this system, if you're not going to change the system or do away with the system, put a time limit on it. Because that's exactly right. If you and I, on the verge of blackout drunk, can half drunk
at 11 a.m.
TV. Yeah, can scream at a TV, that's a foul, and be 95% confident with that. A professional fucking referee should be able to solve that in 5 seconds, not 5 minutes. It just blows my mind the amount of time wasted this past season, these past two seasons, that VAR has taken the time to just look at plays over and over again. And I do not think, Kev, that it is soccer only that a serious amount of time is wasted looking at these potential fouls. Because you think about it, watch any NFL game, watch any NBA game. I swear to God, the referees are on the spectrum because it takes them so fucking long to make a decision. For fuck's sakes, if you can't decide in 60 fucking seconds, call on the field stands. That's how it should be. You're absolutely right there.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. But back to the match. Man United looks good. Yeah, Manchester United looks good, man. And Pogba looks good. Donny van de Bench looks good on the bench.
Yeah, it does. That blonde hair is glistening on that bench.
I've never seen a bench look so good. But yeah, Pogba looks great. You're going to get a lot of money for him in the summer now because he's playing out of his mind. But everyone's looking good. Martial had some great chances. I think Nick Pope had a great save from one of his screamers from outside the box. I don't know. Cavani looks fucking phenomenal, which we all kind of knew he was still really good. People had doubts. Yeah. I'm like, this is Cavani. Like, where are you?
It's Ibra, man. It's a lesser version of Ibra. And Cavani, like, if you look at his stats, Cavani is one of the most lethal goal scorers of the past decade. Whether it's at Napoli, PSG, or PSG, he's a true out-and-out striker. So, yeah, I fucking appreciate it, Kev. You tell me my team looks good. I fucking love to hear those words.
I can't lie. And but now people are saying, and I'm getting backlash saying, like, can United pull this off? Everyone's like, chill the fuck out. And I kind of just do it for the memes.
Yes.
And everyone should chill the fuck out. I think this title race is still wide open. I think there are a good four teams who can still win this, and I still think it's probably Liverpool, City, United, Tottenham right now.
Yeah. Ooh. Ah, man, I'm still on that weird Chelsea train. I got to get off that thing. I got to fucking take a stop and just get off the fucking train.
Well, Martin, did you see the post I made on Lads Today on our Instagram?
What did you post, Kevin?
That Abramovich is bringing in Avram Grant to the back room.
Dude, yes. Avram Grant is the most underrated Chelsea manager ever. Fucking love Avram Grant. Yes, I love to hear it.
But it's does people are saying that puts Frank on the hot seat because the last time he was brought in, 2 months later, Mourinho was fired and Grant took over back in, what was it?
Also
2015.
Won them a fucking Champions League. Avram Grant is a fucking G. I love this.
I forgot about him, dude, to be honest.
I would be okay with Frankie being fired for Avram Grant. Now, if they fired him and brought in Thomas Tuchel's dumbass, I'd be pissed off. But if they brought in Avram Grant can replace anybody in the Premier League, and he'd be a better manager than anybody. That includes you, Pep. But yeah, I'm about that shit. I need to get off this Chelsea train. Right now, I am in agreement with you that there are four teams right now that are definitely in that title race. I'm just on that Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea. And I think it's time to get off and jump on that Spurs train, Kev.
Yeah, and like, I don't want to, but I can't lie.
Mm-mm.
What do you want me to do? I mean, I think four of those teams can all make a good push and are in the conversation. So, all right, let's wrap this up. Let's do some fan questions, Martin.
Heck yeah.
All right, first one comes from our Instagram at Lads Podcast. Please follow us. That would be so kind. It's from the Hartley Foundation 2004. He says, what happened to Leeds, bro? Dude, this is Leeds. Nothing has changed. People are like, what's going on at Leeds? Like, this has always been Leeds.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, for people that are surprised that Leeds are not that great, dude, Leeds, number one, have not been in the Premier League since, like, 2005. So, first off, cut them a break. And number two, they're not that good. They're going to lose a lot of games. I'm okay with that. Nothing's happened to Leeds. Leeds are the exact same crazy entertaining team they were last year at the start of the season. And now they just continue to be fucking entertainers, man.
Yeah, I just don't know why people are startled. I mean, I think I was pulled under the ruse of Leeds in the beginning of the season. Like, and
yeah,
I think I love
like 2 weeks, Kev.
And I love... I saw the light. And then I love Bielsa in the championship because I wasn't following the championship. He was like a folk hero at Leeds for getting them back up into the Premier League, and his whole Spygate thing, and like he was such a his whole sitting down the whole match, like he's sitting on a bucket. There's a lot of things to love about Leeds and their scrappiness and the way they don't care. But if you're saying people are saying surprise, I'm just shocked if you're surprised right now.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp there. Me and you, camp entertainment, not W's.
Nope, just no W's. Next question comes from our Twitter at Lads Podcast. King_Nito1019 says, people have been saying for years the FA Cup is declining in competition. What would you think make the Cup more important? I don't think the Premier League would ever do it, but I think teams would take the Cup way more serious if the Cup winner qualified for the Champions League instead of the Europa League. Well, that would be a domino effect, because then every league's like FA Cup, if it's the Copa del Rey, whatever it is, then they'd have to change theirs in the Champions League, and then you'd have to expand the Champions League probably. And I think that would just cause a bad ripple effect, but not to say that wouldn't be effective. I'm trying to think how else to make FA Cup. I think it's fun right now. I think it's still fun.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that it's certainly fun. And I think that this year, maybe it's COVID related, maybe it's not, but I think this year I have appreciated the FA Cup a whole lot more than I have in the years past. The only solution that I can think of is get rid of the EFL Cup, the Carabao Cup. There is no reason to have Premier League teams in two domestic cup competitions. Now, I am aware that there is a Football League Cup, and that's for like Division 2 through Division 5, or however many fucking divisions there are. I wrote it out on my Excel spreadsheet at some point in my life. And so that's just for teams that are, semi-pro or barely professional. But I think if you, number one, take the Premier League teams out of the EFL Cup, or just do away with the EFL Cup, that puts a whole lot more pressure on the FA Cup, because that's the only other silverware that you'll get that season. And I think that could make it more special. I know for goddamn sure there is nothing historic about a Carabao Beer Cup.
No. And that's pretty much the Man City Cup. And if you want to give Man City credit for that, sure. But I don't know. I think the FA Cup is in a weird pickle right now. And
I think it's gotten better.
I agree with that. I think the coverage has been better and the hype.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too. I think it's growing. I think it's getting back to that magic.
Yeah, I think the Marine Tottenham game kind of gave me like a little boost in the FA Cup. I mean, that game was just so much fun. Game of the year. I mean, that was... all right, next question. Portuguese Manifico at Bruno FC 1999 says, is United doomed? No, United is not doomed. They're doing great. They won today. Top of the league, baby.
I can't answer that question. Otherwise, there's going to be some bad juju on my team. So I'm going to
no comment.
Reply to that. Yeah, no comment.
I plead the fifth. All right, Martin. I saved this one for the last question for a multitude of reasons. The fucko.
Is this Johnny P?
This is the fucko. So the question is from Johnny P at Jonathan Reds. I will actually, say what his Twitter is if anyone wants to go check him out. He says, got a question, lads. Why do you continue to rip off ideas of others and talk garbage to your ridiculous band of followers? Now, if you're new
some
to the show,
Kevin, please.
Yes. If you're new to this show, this Johnny P had DM'd me on our lads Instagram a while ago, probably almost a year ago now, saying, again, this is over a year probably now, saying that, like, how's it feel ripping off people's ideas? And I was like, hey man, like, I'm sorry, there's a misunderstanding. I don't know, like, I'm letting you know that me and my dumbass friend who I graduated college with made this in our shitty South Philly apartment and thought it'd be fun. I don't know. I've never heard of you. He made a podcast with his British friends, and it was a shitty podcast called Pissed. And it's, he trademarked, and his friends trademarked the idea of drinking and talking soccer on a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Him. Nobody else can drink or talk on a podcast. Nobody else. Just
talk soccer. No, just the Pissed boys. And so this guy constantly, like, I wouldn't say bothers. I get a lot of, like, you know, love knowing that we live rent-free in his head. But yeah, so to answer your question, we didn't rip off your ideas because your ideas are also unoriginal. You've probably never had an original thought in your life. The only thought that goes through your head is, how can I get back at the lads? And you can't, because we're growing. We're doing great things. We're raising money for charity. We have a great Discord following. I've made amazing friendships through this. So you've already lost there. Your show failed. You didn't continue with it because you knew how bad it was. So yeah, eat shit and die. I don't know what to tell him.
Holy shit. I didn't respond to the tweet about him. Oh, that's fucking great. I'm reading it now. Oh, this fucking kid. Oh, my God. All right. You alluded to this before about my kind of kindred spirit with Roy Keane. And if you know me personally, you know I'm not a huge fan of social media or really anything. I'm a pretty miserable human being. But there is nothing more in this fucking life of mine that gives me joy than Johnny P trying to stay relevant. And I just, look, he is obviously just, I don't know if it's a troll move or something else, but he is so fucking emotional about the fact that Kevin and I apparently have stolen the idea to drink and talk about soccer. I vividly remember, Kev, and this these memories still give me fucking joy to this day. I vividly remember fucking either in college with you or living in Philly with you, just being drunk as a motherfucking skunk and yelling at each other at the top of our lungs in bars. And Johnny P, if you're listening to this, buddy, here you go. This is the true origin story of lads. And I can guarantee you it's not following you. Me and Kevin got hammered as shit and we're just about getting some fucking verbal fights in bars, yelling about
Donnie
soccer.
Brooks. We almost got into some Donnie
Brooks. Brooks. That's right. That's right. Some fucking Donnie Brooks. Shout out to Letterkenny boys. And to the point where we pissed our friends off so fucking much where they said, go start a podcast so you're not embarrassing us at bars anymore. And so there you are, pissed. There you are, Johnny P. Kevin and I are such degenerates, degens, that we were not allowed to almost fight each other in bars anymore. So we had to start a podcast. And that's how Lads was created. One of my fucking favorite memories, boy.
Yeah, dude, and I'm not even mad that he like tries to call us out, but to say we have a ridiculous band of followers or talk shit on people who enjoy this show, that this show has helped people who, I don't want to say help people, but has got them through maybe an hour of their day of their shitty, you know, because all jobs are shitty, like if they're a shitty desk job or whatever, that makes me angry. That if you're gonna talk, you can talk shit about me and Martin, I don't give a fuck. If you're gonna talk about the people that have supported us and who have been there for us, then I got a fucking problem. And to note that like our show started a week apart from each other, and to think that I found your shitty show wherever in bumblefuck toothless UK that you call home your cave, get out of here. Go eat your fucking crumpets. Keeping the narrative that Americans know nothing about soccer. I can't wait till we go farther in the World Cup than you in 2022 and in 2026.
Easy.
Sorry, I'm worked up. I'm worked up. I don't know if that's true. I'm worked up. I'm talking out of my ass.
I remember just out of fucking nowhere, you know how sometimes you have those like matrix-like memory relapses? I just had one. I remember the first time this happened. I remember your text messages that you sent me when he reached out to you on the Instagram. And then I remember friending him so I could talk shit back to him. So to be fair, Kevin and I have poked a bear with a very sharp stick. And it's not because we're
deserved.
Deserved. It's because quite genuinely, at the end of the day, I find this hysterical. It's like having a six-year-old brother at the age of 27 where I can just say something and he's like, you took my podcast. So in all honesty, keep commenting, Johnny P. Keep bitching about us, Johnny P, because truly, you are the light in my fucking heart.
It brings me sweet joy knowing we live rent-free in your head. So, all right, that's our show, guys. The magic of the FA Cup, the magic of this show is over for today. Stay tuned for our episode Thursday. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but that's fine. We love you guys. You guys take it easy. Make sure to buy one of our shirts and check out Mission 22 and help donate to help veterans. So, all right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'll be your dream. I'll be your wish. I'll be your fantasy.
I'll be your hope. I'll be your love. Be everything that you need.
I love you more with every breath. Truly, madly, deeply do. I will be strong. I will be faithful. Cause I'm counting on a new beginning. A reason for living. A deeper.
Certainty that we're surrounded by the comfort.